Welcome to the Newlyn Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, hosted by me, Kate Thomas. This podcast is packed with practical tips and expert views to unlock the leadership effectiveness in you and your organization. My name is Kate Thomas, and I'm a leadership effectiveness expert and the founder of Newlyn Rock, a consultancy dedicated to focusing on increasing leadership effectiveness for talent-savvy companies and individuals. In this podcast, I will share my experience of supercharging leadership performance and business results with you. Join me and the best thought leaders for topical discussions and talent-centric insights. Joining me on today's episode is Guy Day, Director of Executive Search Consultancy Barton Rock. As a former CEO and now founder of his own executive search business, I'm interested to hear his thoughts on how the Great Resignation is impacting senior executive hiring. What will influence executive talent to move on to something new? And what do organizations need to do to attract this level of top talent? To get us kicked off, you'd like to just dive straight in and get your perspective on what you think has triggered this Great Resignation movement. You know, we're seeing it on social media, press are starting to cover it, you know, whether you're calling it the Big Quit, the Great Resignation. There seems to be an unsettlement amongst talent. People are looking to move. So what's going on?
So I think we've got to take a step back and look at the comparison between 2020 and 2021, first of all, because some of this spike in resignations is demand driven, and some of it is boiling down to dissatisfaction on the part of the individual initiating the search. But let's kick off with some context setting and talk a little about 2020, first of all, where, of course, we are faced with the start of the pandemic. Revenues for many companies, and I say many companies, obviously there's exceptions to that rule, companies operating in e-commerce and essential bricks and mortar retail perhaps weren't impacted, obviously, to such a great degree. But on the whole, most companies cut very deep in terms of staff numbers. They reduced their headcount costs to bring costs into line with the plummet of revenues. And what we've actually seen in Q1 2021, so this year, is a significant rebound as confidence has returned. And recruitment is a confidence industry.
I'm really keen to explore that statement around, you know, organizations cutting staff and cutting too deep. You know, for me, that suggests a very active response and a bit of panic. You know, is that the vibe you were getting from your clients at that time? I know we're dialing back a bit, but what were you sensing then?
There's no precedent for what we've gone through in the last 18 months. So I think there was a lot of fear. And the precipitous drop in revenues was something that created a lot of alarm, and the only reaction for a lot of companies was to reduce costs, and with employment being a big chunk of that cost base, that's what organizations went for. I think the other thing was the market became very much focused on the short term, not the long term. So anything that had a strategic investment angle to it was pretty much culled almost immediately. So projects were frozen, and therefore any staff associated with those projects, to all intents and purposes, were surplus to requirements. So that was a big part of it. And you know, I think you know, whilst digital was such a strong theme of last year, with the increase in e-commerce activity, and obviously digital remains a big theme, the kind of longer term strategic digital investments, even those were the pause button was pressed. So it meant there was a lot of casualties and a lot of very, very good people were out there looking for new challenges.
So we've got this piece around cutting too deep. We've got an economic rationale for why organisations are making those decisions. We've got activity now. So we're back in a place where there's confidence, you're saying. So what's triggering a great resignation? I suppose what I'm hearing is there's confidence back in the market. That means, you know, your organization is needing you. Why would you be looking?
There's a number of reasons. I mean, it's a big question, but I mean, there's a number of reasons. I could probably start with, the fact that the last 18 months has felt like a very long time for a lot of candidates, and especially if they're with an organisation that perhaps doesn't have the right purpose, the right values in place. I think that's starting to create a sense of dissatisfaction. So I think there are individuals that are looking for a different type of environment, and culture is a big part of what individuals are now looking for. I think there's also a consideration is people wanting to keep their skills very current.
Okay.
So if, for example, you're working in a company that is perceived not to have a very clear and ambitious digital vision, and therefore you're not necessarily going to learn the type of or gain the type of digital skills that you would in another organization, individuals are being tempted to move elsewhere to try and keep their skills current. So those are two pretty big drivers in the eyes of individuals.
I think that's really interesting, that whole piece around staying current, because, you know, like we've seen, the pandemic has also been a catalyst for organizations having to change. And for a lot of companies, that has brought a great energy and has brought a lot of innovation. And therefore, what I think you're saying, and maybe my interpretation of that is, if you've been existing employees, so you know you weren't cut, you've been there over the last 18 months picking up the pieces, working the extra hours, keeping everything moving, and you're observing that your organization isn't actually grabbing this as an opportunity to do things fresh, do things new, you're therefore realizing that if you don't move, you're behind the curve.
Yeah, totally. And it comes back to marketability. If you're perceived to be an individual that doesn't have a skill set which is current and in demand, you're going to struggle to keep your market worth and general marketability. So I think it's absolutely. I mean, people want to be at the cutting edge of technology. I mean, I think that's really the big part of it because tech and digital clearly are the things that are fueling the growth in most organizations. And you only have to look at the makeup of the biggest companies in the US stock market, and there's an almost exclusive tech centricity to it. And I think that isn't lost on candidates, and therefore they want a piece of that action. And if your current company doesn't have that tech, data, digital centricity, then they're going to look elsewhere. So that's certainly turning the wheels of the whole Great Resignation piece. And I think there is certainly a desire on the part of individuals to want to be in true decision-making roles where there's decision-making authority and influence. And sometimes that means individuals wanting to move to slightly smaller businesses. And coming back to the tech theme, there's clearly still an awful lot of early stage tech companies that are highly attractive to candidates in this digital space, executives in this digital space, businesses that aren't burdened by slow decision making and large degrees of bureaucracy. So that influence piece and almost being a bigger cog in a smaller machine is certainly quite appealing. But I also think culture comes in the form of having the right purpose, having the right, I know work-life balance is clearly something that's been spoken about a lot in the context of mental health and well-being over the last few years in particular. But I think that is becoming more and more important to people. And I think probably less so at the senior executive level. I mean, I don't think that An extra half an hour on commuting to an office makes the difference between someone going for a job or not at a very senior level. But there's definitely more discussion around balance and about having a working environment that allows you still to prioritize personal life. And that's something that's going to be very important to future companies' employer value propositions. So I don't know what you've seen personally, and whether human beings, by definition, we go back to the ways that we used to work over time. But there's certainly been a lot of discussion about those things becoming more important to people in job moves.
Yeah, look, I think it's a really important piece. And actually, when you talk about it from a senior leadership perspective, I would actually say it's even more so important with senior leaders, because they're actually in the driving seat for making decisions which impact the masses within an organization. So if your senior leaders are feeling extremely overwhelmed, stretched, exhausted, and burnt out, therefore cognitive capacity is not as great as it could be, it impacts their effective decision making. And so therefore, whilst it might not be front of mind for a senior leader because there's a multiple other priorities that they're looking at, the importance of getting some form of balance in their work and life leads to them being even more effective in the leadership roles that they have. You know, so I'm a huge advocate of this and spend a lot of time with senior executives working on how to get that groove into their lives, how to get that rhythm. And I think that there's been some really good articles showcasing how, you know, reduced travel has meant that families who have parents working in senior roles, they've had more access to dinner time conversations, lunch times, whether that be together or whether that be with family members as in immediate children. It's just brought a bit more of that, to your point, around being human and having connection with people. So a really important topic, and something that I think has, you know, like we mentioned earlier, the pandemic has impacted us in several ways, and it's been a catalyst to a lot of things. Well-being is certainly one of those. And I'm curious to know, you know, when we're coming back to, and maybe seeing this as a last point, when we're looking at the themes that are coming from executives who are looking to move, are you finding that the financials is a number one priority, or are we starting to see a bit of a shift in, well, what is my opportunity to influence here? How will I stay current here? What will I learn? What's my balance going to be like? You know, where does the money sit?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting point, because it's very unusual for money not to be in the top couple of things that's important to someone in any job move. And if it's not, some people might say that that's a motivation issue, not exclusively, but some might question the motivations. And I suppose, especially for fast growing companies, they're looking for people who have that desire for a wealth creation play, because they see that as a driving force in their motivation. But if you think about where people have naturally perceived the money to have lied in the past, or to lay in the past, it's usually been in areas like investment banking, where the serious cash was made. But with the share price growth that we've seen in tech companies, it's created huge amounts of wealth within those sectors, even at middle management level. And I was talking to a CMO only recently about the number of very wealthy people that had been created in her function alone. And coming back to that point on wealth, I think it is important. And I think, you know, particularly people who are now working in the tech sector, I think that is a big reason for them continuing to do what they do and work incredibly hard for a good number of years on the basis that there's going to be a pot of gold at the end of it. So I think money is still a big part of people's motivations, not always number one, but certainly right up there.
So let's maybe look at it from the perspective of the clients that you partner with, and the conversations you're having, the advice you're giving around how they navigate this whole piece around the Great Resignation. You know, because if I look at it through my lens, I'm thinking, gosh, clients have just had to deal with what has been this pandemic and the eruption from a pandemic and the changes pandemic has made, they might be starting to feel a little sense of calm, meaning that we're getting used to a change of rhythm of working. We're a little bit more stable in many ways, certainly we were, you know, when it first kicked off. And now they have to deal with this prospect that they're going to have a number of top talent executives look to leave. So what are you hearing? Maybe you can give us some thoughts on the conversations you're having with clients on the flip side.
Well, I think every client that I deal with is struggling to keep up. I mean, attrition has increased, of course, and you know, I think there's a lot of concern about the potential further attrition in 2022. I think especially as things like share option schemes are less effective once share prices stabilize, and therefore the difference between the current stock price and the issue strike price is much narrower. Therefore, share options become less of a retention mechanism. And so I think, you know, attrition is going to be a big theme of 2022. And I think what that means is that companies have to be much more proactive in the way they look at their talent management strategies to lock in their most valued people. And, you know, I think that talent management is always something that people have talked about. I think it's becoming even more pressing now. And I think it's about a few things that I've reflected on. First of all, is knowing what the market worth is of the best people that you employ, and are you in line with that market rate? Are you using your most valued people to the full range of their skills and capability? What's their path for progression? And probably a fourth point would be, what do they want to do? As what do you want out of them as an employer? So I think all of those things in the context of talent management are really important. So companies need to be getting on the front foot, investing in their, you know, TA and talent management functions to retain the very best people. And you know as well as I do, Kate, that if you lose somebody, the cost of that turnover is far, far greater than any investments made in retaining your best people.
100%. You know, there are lots of different statistics that float around in terms of what that number can be. And when we're looking at the senior level talent that you work in, you know, up to five times their salary is the cost of losing them, because the length of time of trying to identify that person, getting them on board, getting them embedded, etc., etc. I mean, you know, can take up over 6 months to really get back up and running. And in the middle of all of that, you've still got a business that needs to be run. So what are you losing whilst you're going through that process? You know, getting it right and retaining who you have is most definitely a superpower for organizations right now. And I think that what my sense is that there's a bit of a reaction, right? So there's the fear, there's the we've got to do something, so let's just go and let's find people, and not necessarily being clear on exactly what the right talent is that they are looking for. I don't know if that comes up much in your conversation when you're vetting the needs that they have.
Yeah, it does. And I think depending on the level that you're talking about and the generation that you're talking about, those expectations of what they want from an employer are different. And again, I was having this conversation with a CMO recently, and he was talking to me about younger generations wanting much more in the way of investment in training and development. There's a much higher priority on that than the potential was on earlier generations. I think the other thing that employers have got to do is that they've got to walk the talk, if that's the right phrase. But you know, if they're talking about purpose and they're talking about values, that needs to be clearly communicated. It has to be in line with the culture that company operates within. And I think that's also something that is really important with younger generations that are the organic pipeline, I suppose, to the digital future of these companies. And you're probably closer to that than I might be in the context of the investments that companies are making in developing their people. But it's certainly something which I think senior executives are cognizant of?
It's for me more around making sure that they are identifying the right people to invest in. Yeah. And that really does come down to being clear on the strategic direction, being clear on what that means in terms of the characteristics, the skills, the attributes, what are we actually looking for? And not always then thinking that somebody who is a high performer is going to actually have the potential for more. And you will see, you've definitely seen that a lot with from a recruitment lens, that, you know, if we can talk in the sense of big billers aren't necessarily going to be the best leaders, right? Yeah. It's a completely different role. So I think knowing what the right talent is, and that's also when you talk about senior leadership, because, you know, where are you at in your maturity of decision making? What do you actually need this senior talent to do? And making sure you get that match. So I think it's a really important conversation that clients need to have. And I think for me, it's a lot around alignment of those who are involved in the recruitment process. It's not just a talent management process. It is a senior leadership process. You know, are we all aligned on what success looks like? Do we know what it is that we are hiring for? And therefore, when the actual recruitment process is taking place, it's joined up. I'm sure you see this a lot when multiple interviews are happening with multiple stakeholders and there's not a lot of connection. Right. And I think if we're in a great resignation time, speed is of the essence. Even though we don't want to shoot from the hip and make the wrong decision, we have to be speedy, we have to be nimble, and therefore joined up and knowing what it is that we're actually looking for.
Well, I agree, and I think it reflects well on you as an employer if that impression is created through an interview experience on the part of a candidate. If every interview is asking the same questions as the previous interview, then there's not a lot more insights and data points that company gets on the individual. So I think that joined up thinking is absolutely right. And I think in a competitive market for the best people, your whole candidate experience has got to be second to none. And that's why a lot of TA functions are really putting emphasis on candidate experience, quality of onboarding, level of investment in the individual in terms of their development. So I think that's important. And the other thing I'd probably say, just picking up on your reactivity versus proactivity comment, I think companies can do very well from pipelining great future talent. Some of that pipeline is internal, of course, in terms of the form of succession planning, which you certainly have a lot of exposure to from your assessment work, but also in the external market as well, working with select search partners that can actually identify future prospects for them based on how well they know that company. And I think that's something I'm seeing much more evidence of from some of my clients who are very aware of how hot and frothy the market is actually becoming for good people.
Thank you. It feels like as if we've given some great insights on those that are looking for work, you know, or saying those that are looking to shift gear, take on something new, continue to enhance on their career. You know, you mentioned about wanting to stay current, the desire to influence and shape what's going on. And we talked about the change that's taken place with people looking for more balance, and it not always be the financial upside that is triggering their reason to leave. And so therefore, if you're a client in this situation, it's not just about adding financial benefits to counter offer. And I think for me, what really summarizes these points is around getting your house in order, you know, that reactive versus proactive, and just knowing what you stand for as an organization and who it is that you are trying to attract. So I think getting your house in order can also ensure that you retain the talent that you want to retain. So you've got more of a chance of not having to worry as much as what other firms are when the Great Resignation continues to spike. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast with me, your host, Kate Thomas. If you would like more information on how I can help you or your organization maximize your talent and leadership effectiveness strategies, then reach out to me through my website, newlandrock.com.